So, again, this is not the service we had planned. You know, we had a live band and a drama presentation and, you know, candlelight and all these wonderful things, and then plans change. So what we're going to do now is kind of like I promised, an old school, just devotional. We're just going to sit. I'll be honest, I have very little notes. I know what's on my heart. I know what's been on my mind the last 24, 48 hours since all this started to unfold. And I just want to share with you and just be authentic. You know, we're just going to talk to each other. You know, and it's a little odd because you're not here. I can't really see you, but I know the Spirit unites us. You know, and so really the thing that the Lord impressed upon me over the, you know, really yesterday and this morning is, you know, we make Christmas all about a lot of things, and rightfully so. It's a monumental event that Jesus Christ came to earth, because that's what set it all, made it all possible for us to have a relationship with him. And we wrestle, you know, every year kind of with Christmas. You know, we're going to read the Christmas story in a little bit, and it's really, there's not a whole lot to it. You know, it's pretty simple. It's a simple story, and yet it is the most complicated story and complex story ever told. And it all comes back to, and the whole point of it is to tell one simple message. And that is that God loves you and he does not want you to be afraid. That's the whole point. And so we don't need a drama presentation, and we don't have live animals. We did that once. And anybody remember? Live animals in the sanctuary? All we really need is a heart that is yielded and open before God. And that's why I had to sing those songs this morning. To redirect our hearts and just put our focus where it should be. And now as our hearts are open before him, to receive his word to us, you know, so that we can live in hope and in peace and in joy and in comfort, because his light shines within us. So that's what we're going to do for the next, I don't know, I think in the next 20 minutes. Lloyd, feel free to, like, give me the, you know, the cutoff if I go beyond that. But I think it's about 20 minutes. So what happened? You know, that's the question on everybody's mind. You know, why? Just last Sunday, you know, I stood here on stage and said, we're going to have live services. And I even said, you know, as long as the church can be open, we're going to be open, because we need to be the light in the world, you know. And it's almost like God was kind of like, oh, really? And so, you know, what happened? You know, and we had all these plans. We had rehearsals and things were going on. And you know, this theme, this service was, the idea for this service was planted way back in January and February. You know, my wife, Jenny, my partner, my best friend, hi, Jenny. She's at home with our daughter. Jenny had the idea for Light the Night for Christmas Eve. Long before COVID was even in our vocabulary, let alone the phrase, and then COVID, .. And it's had a kind of a prolonged effect on all of our plans this year. And so what happened is that yesterday morning around 9 o'clock, we started getting word that a bunch of people were getting sick. And members of our teams, and various teams, you know, and it became pretty evident pretty quickly that we weren't going to be able to host the service that we had planned. Originally, I proposed that we would have the drama portion and not have the live music. And then things were changing almost by the minute, which is why there was a number of, you know, updates. We were trying to keep people updated and get the information out as much as possible. But things were just changing very rapidly. And it became, by lunchtime, it became apparent that we weren't going to be able to do what we had planned. And truly, in the best interests of the health and well-being of our congregation, is to once again go to live stream only. You know, we were here once before back in April. Remember, our Easter service was the same thing. We had all these plans for a great Easter service, and that all ended up, you know, changing, and it ended up being me and Jenny and our daughter and Lloyd and Bob, our faithful sound and audio tech guys. You know, and so for Christmas, we don't even have that. It's stripped down even further. And I don't want to make this about COVID, because I honestly don't even know if it is that. It's just, I know people are sick, you know. And so whether it's that or not, you know, I'll be honest, I'm done talking about it. the if, what's, and the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and all that stuff, you know, it's a reality. You know, we've been open for business since June, putting our best efforts forward to balance the needs of our community with the safety of our community. And you've heard me talk, if you've heard me over the last couple of weeks, you've heard me talk, be very blunt about the fact that the longer this pandemic stretches on, the more and more people are truly hurting, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, all of it, you know. And I know people are struggling, you know, and that's why I believe the Lord was saying we got to stay open to be a resource, to be a beacon of hope, you know. But when it became apparent that we couldn't do what we wanted to do, here we are, you know. And I don't want to talk about, you know, again, make it about that. But what I do want to talk about is the very true reality, I think, that we all kind of ask ourselves now and say, God, what happened? I thought I heard from you. All year long, we had these plans, you know, and, you know, you can't help but think, did we miss you, God? Did we miss you on something here? And I don't know if, I'm sure people out there, you listening, can relate to that. That you seek the Holy Spirit, you ask for His direction, you ask God to show you a sign, and lead you, and He does that, and all of a sudden it doesn't work out. Where are you, God? And as we look through the Christmas story, we'll see that that's no different. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But as we talk about the Christmas story, you know, we have to go to the beginning. And not the beginning of Matthew, but we have to go all the way to the very beginning in Genesis. Because that's where the Christmas story begins. And I encourage you, something that I learned, you know, that was passed on to me from Pastor Rick, you know, and who mentored us and showed us, as you know, before we met Jesus Christ, you know, Christmas morning was up and it was this, you know, flurry of activity, ripping through presents and all that other stuff. But since I've met Jesus, you know, our families have followed the example of, before we do anything else on Christmas morning, we open the Bible and we read the Christmas story, because He is the reason for it. And so we're going to do that today. But the Christmas story begins in Genesis chapter 1. And I encourage you to have your Bibles out and follow along and make notes and write stuff down, you know. It's a devotional. It's what we do. We read the Word and then we apply it to ourselves. So in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." Verse 3 and 4. "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. The universe exploded into brilliance. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." And we think about our God, and we think about that before anything existed, as easily as I can light this flame here and light my own candle right here so that there is light. As easily as I flick that switch and light comes on, our God spoke and stars came into being. And we see stars from our distance. We think, man, those are really cool. They're pretty. But see a star up close and understand the magnificence and the power that happened when He spoke that into being. He spoke and stars leapt into existence in a violent eruption of force. And He did that for a reason. Because the light, the stars give us light. They give us direction. They give us hope. They give us comfort. And notice what it says here in verse 4. God separated the light from the darkness. The very first thing God did in creating the universe was to separate light from darkness. And folks, I'm telling you, that hasn't changed. That's still the message. That's certainly the message and His purpose when Jesus Christ came to the earth. And it's certainly His purpose down today, 2,000 years later. He is still separating the light from the darkness. And so that's why when we go to John chapter 1 and we meet Jesus in the flesh, John has this unique perspective. He was Jesus' BFF, you know, His closest buddy. He knew Him like no one else. And so John begins his gospel unlike anybody else. Not with the story of the virgin birth and all these other things, but just simply who Jesus was. And he says, John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." So when God spoke in Genesis 1, that was Jesus. Jesus spoke all things into being. And then He became flesh, human in the form of a baby. In verse 4 it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, has not overcome it or overpowered it. There was a true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, but those who were his own did not receive him. But, there's always a but, but God, what God did is, even in our rejection of him, he says, as many as did receive him, to those he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And that's the point of Christmas, that Jesus came into the world, that God had set light in the heavens, in the stars, to separate light from darkness, and then he sent his Son, a part of himself, into the world as light on the earth, the true light, not an artificial, you know, not a man-made one, because the things that man makes, they corrupt. They're not perfect. They're not eternal. But Jesus is eternal. He stepped into this world as the light, and he again separated light from darkness. And it doesn't end there either. Because of what Jesus Christ did on this earth, now his light now shines in all of us who believe in him. And so God is still separating light from darkness. You know, we talk about the plans we had for this service. And really not just this service, because of course, the effects of an illness are lasting. There's a ripple effect. Not just the service. You know, I mean, at this point we are saying that we will reassess for Thursday night's Christmas Eve service, but the likelihood is we're not going to have that either. And that's extremely disappointing. I can hear the groans from even across the internet. Everybody has plans. Yeah, everybody has plans. Let's think about this a little bit. So when we get to the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1, it's in Luke chapter 2, but we're going to look for Matthew chapter 1. That was the central passages for this drama production and music production that we were going to put on today. You can see I'm sitting here in the manger that's here. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" If you're following along, I want you to make a note in your Bible. Every time you see the phrase, "do not be afraid, fear not." Right? Verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. No longer distant, no longer God in the heavens and us on earth, but God here on the earth with us, living, breathing right alongside of us, and inhabiting our very souls. "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Chapter 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler," capital R, title, ruler, "who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell to the ground and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I think about that because, you know, we talked about we had plans for a Christmas service, and we had plans for the week of Christmas and celebrations and all that stuff. We had plans all year long as a church. We had plans for an Easter service. Didn't happen. Not the way we thought it would. We had plans for Vacation Bible School. It was going to be a killer Vacation Bible School this year, celebrating God's our godly heritage, complete with, I can say this now, a closing firework, a live firework show. It was going to be awesome. We had plans to go down to the Palmerton Festival and celebrate and serve, you know, and have some great fellowship with each other and just enjoy being with each other, you know, and serving our community and having some great food, you know. We had plans to be open for services all year long. We had plans and plans and plans. We had plans for this Christmas service. They didn't work out. The question really becomes, what do we do with that? How do we respond to it? Because as we saw through the scriptures, God is continually separating the light from the darkness, and that's our choice. See, he's done all the work. He's put his son into the world, and through his work on the cross, we can have that relationship with him. All we have to do is accept it. And if we are obedient to him, and if we seek him first, then the scriptures say his light shines within us. We're going to see that scripture when we close. Then his light shines within us. And so, you know, so often we say, oh, there's so much darkness in the world. There's so much darkness. Well, really, the darkness in the world has little to do with the events in the world and has more to do with our response to those situations. So if you want more light in the world, you have to be a light. You have to choose it. If you want darkness in the world, or if you see darkness in the world, more accurately, if you see a lot of darkness in your life specifically, there's a good chance there's darkness in your life. God's saying, I'm set it before you. Make the choice. Choose light from darkness. Let my light shine within you. Not the man-made stuff, because it doesn't satisfy. I think about as we read this, you know, Mary had plans. As a young Jewish girl getting married, she had plans to marry Joseph, and you know, and they were under contract. That's what betrothed means. It was more than an engagement. This is a binding contract. Her plans almost certainly did not include becoming supernaturally pregnant by the Holy Spirit and then having to explain that to her husband. I mean, you buy that story, right? Sure, yeah, okay. Her response, Lord, what are we going to do? How does this affect my plans? That's the question. What am I going to do with it? Joseph had plans. He had plans to marry Mary. Those plans certainly did not include being the father to an illegitimate child and what that would do to not only to his reputation, but his standing in the community, what that would do to her. By law, she could be stoned. What would that do for this child? Joseph made a different choice because he was a righteous man. He chose to let God's light shine within. And so, in so doing that, he ends up giving Jesus a legacy. Rather than Jesus being the son of a harlot, he's the son of a carpenter. Changes everything. The Magi had plans. Even if they weren't really quite looking for it, they were looking for something to worship. So they saw a star. And their plans, though, you know, them probably being from Arabia or Persia, those plans probably did not include traveling 1,000 miles through desert and mountains following a star to get to a place in Israel where it seems that nobody knows what's happening, nor do they care. They had to be questioning, God, did we miss something here? The shepherds, we didn't read the shepherds, but it's in Luke chapter 2. You know, the shepherds are out there. They're just minding their own business, tending to the most simplistic animals on the planet, perhaps, sheep. They're just out there watching over them. And all of a sudden, boom, right? Myriad of angels show up. You want to talk about light separating from the darkness. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're hanging out, you know, in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden the light just explodes all around you. And that's why angels, every time an angel shows up, he says the same thing, right? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Typical angelic greeting. Why? Because they understand that their appearance suddenly and their what they look like is cause for concern. Cause for fear. Don't fear. Go see the king that's been born. That wasn't in their plans, but they obeyed. Even Herod had plans. Herod had plans to be the king. And he did anything within his means to hold on to that throne. He was not above doing away with his own family members. And his fear led to some of the most heinous acts ever recorded in history. Wiping out every child under the age of 3 years old because of his fear. So everyone has plans. But then God. God's plans are different. God's plan. And think about this, right? Think about God's plans. That he set all this stuff in motion long before any of them even took one breath. It says the Magi followed the star to where Jesus was. Now, if we go back to Genesis 1 and God spoke and put all the stars into being, then he set that in motion in Genesis 1, that star would be in that exact place, in that orbit, to shine the light to where Jesus was when that would happen some thousands of years later. And I know it's in the news. You know, we've been talking about it. We talked about it in our message last week, that the Christmas star is making an appearance this tomorrow night, right? December 21st. Jupiter and Saturn align so that they, you know, appear to be one star. It's the brightest you'll see it. Hasn't been seen this way for 800 years, 600 years. Widely believe that could be the star that the Magi followed. If that's the case, then God set Jupiter and Saturn. His plan was set into motion when he set those stars in the universe. And he set them at such an orbit and at such a speed so that they would align at that right time. Those are plans. Plans within plans. Mary and Joseph living under Roman occupation, life was not easy. And yet in that moment, God had arranged for it, his plan, for his son to come into earth at the absolute perfect time. Because of the progress that had been made in the Roman civilization, that transportation, travel was a lot easier. Common language was being allowed, trade and allowed people to spread beyond their places where they were born and raised. And so the gospel is able to quickly explode out, not just from Jerusalem, not just from Israel, but to the four corners of the known earth. It was the absolute perfect fullness of time. God had plans. He had plans within plans, and his plans were perfect. Yeah. We had plans. What are your plans? And how are you responding to them? That's the question, really. I'm not saying, you know, I mean, I'm disappointed, of course. But I choose light. Because God cared enough about me to send his very best. And he cared enough about me to make those plans long before life even existed on this planet. He did it all and sent his son so that we could walk in abundant life. That's what Jesus said. Abundant life. And so whether in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of things that don't go according to plan, we look to him. Not just the stars, not just the signs, but we look to him. The light that shines that the world cannot extinguish and doesn't always understand. This is what Jesus said himself in John chapter 8. Jesus said in John 8:12, he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." That's Christmas. God did all of this, set it all in motion, so that you could have the light of life in your life, so that you could walk and rest in his peace, in his comfort, in his joy, in his purpose, that you wouldn't have to be afraid, that no matter what happens, what comes our way, his light shines within us, and nothing in this world can ever extinguish it. In a minute, we're going to sing another song. I'm going to ask Alicia to sing, and we're going to sing Silent Night. I don't think we've ever done that. If you have a candle where you are, maybe you don't have one right now, but I encourage you today, somewhere, you know, light your candle. Let it be your commitment before the Lord that no matter what happens, you're going to let his light shine within you. Before we sing, I just want to lead us in a prayer. You know, there's nobody else here, so I can't see you, but I encourage you and ask you right where you are, listening in the radio or in your living room or in the kitchen or wherever you are, to come before the Lord and just say, Lord, I want your light to shine within me. So I'm going to pray and just ask you to repeat it after me right where you are. Let's do that. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you came into the world because you love me and you want your light to shine in me. A light that never goes out because it's your eternal light. So Lord, today I say yes to you. I ask you to fill my heart, fill my life, and fill my mind with your ways. Let your light shine. Today, Lord, I choose the light over the darkness. And I thank you that because of your light, I have peace and joy and purpose and comfort. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing Silent Night, and I love Silent Night because it talks about the light. Radiance beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. That's what Christmas is, that God sent his very best so that we could have his grace, that you could have his light. Proper candlelight technique. There you go. Would you join us as we sing Silent Night? Thank you. We praise you. for your light, the eternal light that shines within us. Thank you, Lord, for the peace and the joy and the comfort that we have that comes only from knowing you, having a relationship with you, here in this life and the life that is to come. Thank you, Lord. Be with your people now. Lord, just give them a great rest of the day and this week, because you are the reason for the season. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us. I want you to just really, as you go to sleep tonight, you know, rest in that. Rest in the awareness and the knowledge of how much God loves you, that his plans are not, can't be foiled by the things of this world. His plans are always good, and he's going to continue to shine even in the midst of darkness, and he needs you to do that too. So we love you all. Stay tuned. We will be back here one way or another for Sunday for sure. We'll keep you posted about Christmas Eve. Until then, until we see each other again, Merry Christmas. We love you.